Today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Aleph, and we are 17 lines from the bottom of daf Mem Amid Beis, Amar Rab Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yechiel Yosef ben Sara, Henech Yisrael ben Esther Necha, Yitzchak Elio ben Chaya Sara, Avram Yekosio ben Gittel, Avram Kadesh ben Malka Bela, Ben Zion ben Hadassah Chasio, Leah Bas Chana, and Alti Yisrael ben Bela Nechama. Today's daf is also being learned by Ilu Nishmas, Shloim Zev ben Avram Yitzchak, and Rafal Zalman Hillel ben Zechariah. So the Gemara is continuing to discuss halachos related to Bishul. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of his great Rebbe Shmuel, Echad Shemen, the Echad Mayim, Yad Soiledes by Aser, Ein Yad Soiledes by Mutter. One is not allowed to cook oil on Shabbos. One is not allowed to cook water on Shabbos. What's the definition of cooking as it relates to oil and as it relates to water? If it reaches a point where Yad Soiledes by, then it's considered cooking and it will be Aser. If it's not so hot to the point that it would be Yad Soiledes by, in that case it would be Mutter. Says the Gemara, Behechi Domi Yad Soiledes by, what exactly is Yad Soiledes by? Amar Rechava, Rav Chava said, Kol Shekreisoy Shal Tinek Nichves. If it's so hot that if the water would be on the body of a Tinek, it would cause the child to burn, that's considered Yad Soiledes by. Now, literally, the words Yad Soiledes by means that the thing is so hot that your hand will jump back instinctively when it comes in contact with this hot thing. But Chazal felt that Yad Soiledes by, even though that was the shear that they had a Messiah on, was somewhat inconclusive. So to make it a little bit more solid, the Chachamim said that if it's so hot that Kreisa Shel Tinoik, which is very soft, would be Nichves, that's considered hot to the point that it's considered cooked. Meaning, when you're dealing with cooking solids, so then there's a certain sheer bishul. Kemaychel ben Drusoy, there's other sheerim. But when it comes to a liquid, it depends on what the boiling point is. If it's Yad Soiledes by, that's considered cooked. As it relates to Hayoim, so I believe Rav Moshe and Igros Moshe felt that L'chumra, 110 degrees, is considered Yad Soiledes by. Omer Rabbi Yitzchuk Bar Avdimi, Pam Achas Echnas Le'achar Rebbe, I once followed Rebbe L'Beis HaMerchitz in a Beis HaMerchitz, U'bikash L'Nichle Pach Shal Shemen Bam Bati. And when I was in the Beis HaMerchitz together with Rebbe, I had a Pach Shal Shemen of Chanukah fame, and there was a bathtub there that was very hot. I wanted to heat up this Pach Shal Shemen. For Amali, and Rebbe told me, you can't do it. You can't take the Pach Shal Shemen, obviously on Shabbos, and put it into Ambati. So what should I do? Rebbe said, Tuba Klisheni Vitei. Take some of the hot water out of the Ambati, put it into another Keli, a quote-unquote Klisheni, and then take your Pach Shemen and warm it up in that other Keli. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said that from this story I learned three things. Shma minotla, shma minot, I learned Shemen Yesh B'mishon Bishol, that there's an Isser to cook oil on Shabbos. Earlier on the Amid, it was a big discussion in the Gemara, Machlekes Tanoim, whether there's an Isser to cook oil on Shabbos or not. Clearly, Rebbe was of the opinion you can't heat up oil in an Ambati on Shabbos, must be Shemen Yesh B'mishon Bishol. But Shma minot, he said, I learned another thing, Klisheni Einim Bevashel, that if you take something really, really hot and you put it into a second keli, meaning not the keli that was directly in contact with the source of heat, not the keli that was on the fire. At that point, even though it's really still hot, it doesn't matter. Cliche is not mevashel. And I learned another thing, that when it comes to cooking oil, you don't have to cook it to the point where it's Yad Soiledes by. But even if you warm it up a little bit, that would constitute bishul. How did he know that? Because Rabbi Yisrael Bar Avdimi said, I had no intention of leaving it in the Ambati to the point where it was going to be Yad Soiledes by. And still Rebbe had a problem with it. Must be Shemen Yesh by Mishum Bishul, have Sheiro Yizeo Bishulei. From the fact that Rebbe allowed me to put it into a Klisheni, Shema Mina, must be that Klisheni is Enei Mevashel. Now, as it relates to why Klisheni is not Mevashel, is a very famous Tosfos right here on Daf Memo Medeis, Dibura Maskel, Vishma. We're not going to learn Tosfos now. We'll save it for the coming dafin. Says the Gemara, but v'heichi avid hachi. How was Rebbe allowed to tell Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi what he can and cannot do? as it relates to cooking oil on Shabbos. A person is allowed to be maharer in Divrei Torah anywhere with the exception of a Beis HaMerchitz or a Beis HaKiseh. So if you can't be maharer in Divrei Torah in a Beis HaMerchitz, certainly not allowed to talk and learning in a Beis HaMerchitz. So how is Rebbe able to tell Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi what the halacha is? He paskin to him a halacha, shma mina, class, all this lumdis, a very important gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem Amud Beis came about where? Not in Beis Medrash, not kishenichnasu Rabbi Seinu lekerem b'yavna. Didn't happen in a shuk, it didn't happen on a boat like a lot of gemaras did. It happened in a Beis HaMerchitz. How's that possible? A Beis HaMerchitz is a place where you're not even allowed to think and learning. So how could this have gone down there? It says the gemara, v'chitem, you'll tell me b'lashon choyl amalei. Maybe Rebbe didn't tell it to him in Lashon Kodesh. Maybe he told it to him b'lashon choyl in Aramaic. But v'amr Abaya said, dvarim shal chol mutal la'omer b'lashon kodesh. Dvarim shal chol, meaning mundane things one is allowed to say in a Beis HaMerchitz, even b'lashon kodesh, but shal kodesh, but something of kedusha like divrei Torah, also learn b'lashon chol. You're not allowed to say in a Beis HaMerchitz, even if you say it b'lashon chol. So at the end of the day, Rebbe's talking and learning, even if he said it b'lashon chol, it makes no difference because shal kodesh also la'omer b'lashon chol. So how was he allowed to tell this to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdim in the Beis HaMerchitz? So the Gemara says you have to say afrushe. The reason he was allowed to do it is because he was trying to prevent Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi from doing an aveir. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi was about to cook oil. He was about to be Mechal Shabbos. So to prevent him from being Mechal Shabbos, Rebbe felt he's allowed to violate this halacha of b'chol makoy mutal laharer chutz mi beis hamerchitz umi beis hakiseh. You find sometimes that there are certain halachas that la'afrushe me'isura we look away from. An example, as the Gemara just said right here, another classic example is a Talmud is not allowed to be Moira Halacha Bifnei Rabbi, but if he sees his Rebbe doing an Avera, or if he sees his Rebbe misinforming someone else, that will cause that person to do an Avera. So the Gemara says in Perek Hadar, Mesachtes Erevin, Lafrusha Me'isura, Talmud is allowed to be Moira Halacha Bifnei Rabbi. So you find certain things, Lafrusha Me'isura, where we look away, this is an example. You're not allowed to be Mahar B'Divrei Torah, but Lafrusha Me'isura, you can't. The Magen Avraham, interestingly, in Erechaim Simen Pei, hey, brings b'shem the Sefer Chassidim that if someone's in a Beis HaKiseh, that's also a place where you're not allowed to be Mahar B'Divrei Torah, and he has a Machshava V'arayas, so he's allowed to start thinking and learning. Lafrushe Me'isura, a person's allowed to be Mahar B'Divrei Torah even in a Beis HaKiseh. The Gemara says, Teda, I'll prove to you that Lafrushe Me'isura is different. I'm Rav Yehuda, Mas Shmuel, B'Yudah, send the name of Shmuel. Ma'isa, there was a story about Talmid, Rav Meir, Shendichazach, Beis HaMerchitz. Rav Meir's Talmud once followed his Rebbe into Beis HaMerchitz. Ubikish Ladiach Karka. And he wanted to be mechabed his Rebbe. So what he was doing was he was cleaning the floor in the Beis HaMerchitz underneath where Rav Meir was going to bathe. Va'amaloi, Rav Meir told him, Eimadichin, not allowed to do this on Shabbos. This was Shabbos. Lasochloi, karkos. And then he went and he anointed it with oil. Amalei, no, ain't sochi, not allowed to do this either. Alma, what do you see from here? Afrusha meisurishani, hachanami, so to here. Lafrusha meisurishani. From the Gemara, it sounds like we're bringing a raya to the teretz that the Gemara gave to explain the Maisa with Rebbe from the Maisa with Talmid Shor HaMeir. As if we're insecure about the teretz of Lafrusha Meisura, but I have a riot. What's the riot from the other story? All the Rishayim asked, what do you see in this other story more than you saw in the first story? Either way, says the Gemara, Omar Rabina. Rabina said, Shmamina, I have another takeaway from the aforementioned. Meaning from this Maisa Shahoya Kachoy with Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, who once entered the Beis Merchitz where Rebbe was, he wanted to take a Pach Shal Shem and put it into an Ambati. Rebbe told him, Klisheni. He learned three important halachas, Shem and Yeshma Mishum Bishul, Hefshere Zeh Bishuloi, and Klisheni Eina Mevashul. Ravina said, I learned another thing from here. You see, from here, I'm a vashel b'chami tferia b'shabbos chayev. That if somebody would cook b'chami tferia, he would be chayev. Meaning, even though the chami tferia is not or, it's not toldos or, but it's an unconventional way of cooking. But you see from here that if someone's mevashel b'chami tferia be chayev. How do I know that? Ravina said, "Damaisit Rebbe lachak zera havo." Because the story of Rebbe was after the gzera of merchatzos. If you recall, the Gemara Naman Aleph brought the whole history, the shalshelas of how the chachamim went, and they were geyser that you're not allowed to go to a beis merchatz. This story was after those gzeres, said Rabino. So what's Rebbe doing in a Beis Merchitz? And even if he went lahaziyah, to use as a shvetz, chomu gezer in that also. So must be, it was chamit feria. Because the Gemara said that that the Chachamim saw after they imposed all these decrees that it was a little harsh, so they were matter for them Chamit Tveria. So this story must have happened in Chamit Tveria. So what's the problem with cooking in Chamit Tveria? Must be a mevash b'Chamit Tveria is chayiv. But the Gemara says, "Eini, is that true?" V'amar Rav Chizda said a mevash b'Chamit Tveria b'Shabbos. Potter, Rav Chizda said it's not true. You're not chayiv. So he said, "My chayiv to come and makas mardos." I don't mean chayiv as in chayiv chatas, karis, skela. I meant to say it would be a problem. Meaning the story with Rebbe, after the Gemara's analysis, was not a story where Rabbi Yisrael Bar Avdimi was going to be over Chil Shabbos Deiraisa, because it was Chamit Feria. So it was Chamit Feria, wasn't going to be Chil Shabbos Deiraisa, it was going to be an Issa Durabonon, but Hamiya Shmamino, Midurabonon at least, it's also to be Mavashal B'Chamit Feria. If someone does, he's Chayat, Makas Mardas. Amr Rabzera said, Ani Chazizel Rabavol, Dushat Bambati. So on the topic of Talmidim watching their Rebbe act a specific way in a base merchitz, the Gemara is going to digress a little bit on this point. Rav Zeir said, I once saw Rav Avo, he was swimming in a bath on Shabbos. But I wasn't sure, meaning I wasn't sure, I couldn't tell if his feet were touching the ground or if they weren't touching the ground. Now, if they weren't touching the ground, he was swimming. You're not allowed to swim on Shabbos. According to Tosfos, the reason Eimah Fligin Besfina, you remember the Gemara in Daf Yutes, in the end of the first parak, was all related to swimming. You can't swim on Shabbos. But this wasn't a river, it wasn't a swimming pool per se, it was an abati, it was a bathtub. So Rav Zeira said, I wasn't sure. Meaning, what's the suffix? The suffix is, does Rav Avo hold that maybe even though the Chachamim were goyzer, you're not allowed to swim, maybe an Ambati is different. Or maybe Ambati is not different, and he wasn't swimming. His feet were touching the ground. But the Gemara says, I don't know where Rav Zeira Shaila could have been. The time he learned to the Baraisa, you're not allowed to swim even in a pool. Even if it's in a Rishos HaYachis, there's no problems of Eitzah. Even that's a... Oh, sir. So you see clearly that the gzeira of swimming isn't just in a river. You see, it's true in a pool. So why would an abati be different? The Gemara says, like Kasha, hada lesle gidudi, hada isle gidudi. There's a discussion what exactly the Gemara's teretz is, but one pshat in the Gemara is that Rav Zeira thought that maybe the only time it's usur to swim in a pool, malei amayim, v'afilo emedes b'chatzer, that's only if there's no rim on top of the pool. Meaning it looks like it might be a river. But if it's obvious that it's not a river, then maybe he thought it would be mutter. That was his shiloh with what Rav Avol did. I'm Rav Zeira. No, chazitza l'Rav Avol sheniach yodav k'neged panav shalmata. I saw Rav Avol that he was in a beis hamerchitz, and he was covering his oisei makoyim with his hand. V'loyadana, and Rav Zeira said, but I couldn't tell, he was touching it literally, oisei makoyim, iloy naga, he was just covering the area. Of course he wasn't touching it. At the time, he went to the Braiso, Rebbe Eliezer said, and this is a Gemara Masech, this nida daf yud gimel, kol eiches ba'amo mashtin, if somebody touches his amo, and he goes to the bathroom and urinates, ke'ilu mevi ma'beloilam, it's very chomer. So there's no way Rav Avol could have done that. Must be he wasn't touching it. Amar Abaye said there's no raya, because asua kibay leshes. Could be this is similar to the famous case that the Gemara often quotes regarding troops. The time, we learned in the Mishnah, b'leshes, shenichas ol the ear. B'leshes, a group of soldiers that entered a city. B'shash shalom, if they entered b'shash shalom and they start going through people's houses. Chaviyos psuchos, if a yid had an open barrel of wine, asuris, halacha is not allowed to drink the wine anymore. Because we're afraid that maybe this non-Jewish soldier went, poured the wine, l'avodah zarah. As a result, it's the ayin nesach. Stumos, if however the wine was closed, it was sealed shut, mutaris. Dalach is its mutter. B'shas milchama, if however it was a shas milchama, eilvele mutaris. Even the open barrels are mutter. What's the reason? Fisha ain't p'nai l'nasech. Because they're busy with war. Al makimin de b'isir l'menasech. So when someone's afraid, he doesn't think about his taivah. So you're not going to be menasech yayin l'avodah zarah when you're fighting a war. So even if there's an open bottle of wine sitting on your dining room table, if Rachman al-Latzon, the troops come through b'shas mochami, you could drink the wine later. You don't have to be concerned that maybe he was nasach al avodah zarah. So Abaye said, "Okay, now given the buzz, le'yasal hurei." So to hear, could be Rav Avo really was naga. He was really touching his oisei makom. I didn't Rav Eliezer say it's so terrible. Kolaiches ba'amu mashtin kilu maybe ma'baloy. Yeah, but this is like the b'leshes. He was afraid. So being that he was afraid, there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing wrong with touching the aver per se. It's just what it might lead to. Over here, you don't have to worry about it. So the Gemara says, "But the Hacha might be Asusa." What was Rav Avo afraid of? I understand what the troops are afraid of. They're fighting a war. But what was he afraid of here? The Gemara says, "Pasha be Asusa the Nahara." He was toiveling in a Nahar, in a river. It could be dangerous. But the Gemara says, "Eini." How could Rav Avo have even covered his Oisei Makom, let alone touched it? Didn't Rav Abba say in the name of Rav Huna, who said in the name of Rav, that if somebody covers his oisei makoyim, ki ilu koyfe bevrisay shal Avram Avinu, because it looks like he's embarrassed of his bris milah, Rashi says, denirishu hu boish badavar. This is something very, very chomer. So again, how could Rabbi Avohu have done this? So the Gemara says, like Kasha, haki nachis, haki solik. It depends. When a person's going down to the river, so the assumption is that there's no one that sees him.
the people that see him would see him from behind. So there, he shouldn't cover his oisai makayim, because there's no inyan of tsnias, because no one sees him anyways. And by covering it, it's keilu kleifer b'risa shel Avraham Avinu. But when you ascend from the river, then the front of you is facing the oilam. So then to the contrary, then for tsnias reason, it's more proper to do a Rabba Vodid. And the Gemara says, you find that different Amiram had different customs when it came to this halacha. The other Rava, Shachi, Rava would bend a little bit when he went into the mikvah. Rav Zera Zakif, he would stand straight. Rav Amar ben Rav Ashi, the chevra that went to Rav Ashi's yeshiva, so Kika Nachsi, when they went down Zakfi, they stood straight. They didn't cover. Kisaki, when they came up Shachi, they would bend. That is this minute, perhaps, that Rav Avol did. Meaning, when you're Nachsi, then you have to be Zakfi, because if not, it's Kilu Kaifa Bervisa Shal Avraham Avinu. I mean, you have to balance. On the one hand, you don't want to cover the Mila, because it looks like you're embarrassed of your bris Mila. But then again, there's also an idea of Tznia. So if you're able to balance that, that's what the Rabban of the Rav Ashi did, and that's what the Gemara is suggesting, Rav Avol did. Rav Zera have a Kamishtamit mid Rav Yehuda. So we're only about 100 dafin into the new cycle of daf. I mean, this is the third time we've had this. Rav Zera was trying to avoid Rav Yehuda. So Rav Zera was trying to avoid Eretz Yisrael because he wanted to make Galiyah. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Yehuda didn't allow him because Rav Yehuda had a very, very stark opinion when it came to living in Eretz Yisrael. He believed that if someone goes from Bava to Eretz Yisrael, he's over Baaseh. Shenemar Bavela Yuvo Veshama Yiu. Pasha the Pasuk was referring to the Kalim that were taken away from the Yidden after Churban Bayis Rishon. But Rabbi Yehuda Darshan, that was referring to the Yidden themselves. Yidden went to Bavel, and they weren't allowed to return. Ad Yoyim Pak Di Yoyisam No'um Hashem, which meant Bayis Shlishi, Sheyibana B'mheir B'yameinu. So Rabbi Zeir was trying to avoid Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Zeir couldn't control himself. And Nishka can't anhalten. Omar, he said, Ezel V'eshma Mine Milsi V'eshma. I have to hear one more thing. I have to track down Rabbi Yehuda. I have to hear one more shit. Something I have to hear from Rabbi Yehuda. I'm not ready to give this away. Azal, the Gemara says, see, when he followed Rabbi Yehuda and he was in a bathhouse. He overheard Rabbi Yehuda tell his gabbai, Hevioli Nasser, can you pass the soap? Hevioli Masre, can you give me a brush? Then he told him, open up your mouth, meaning inhale, and exhale. And then he said, you should have a drink. They serve water in the bathhouse. He told him, have a drink. Dayenu, had I only come to hear this. So the Gemara says, what was so special about what Reb Zeira heard? Bishleim is of the Gemara, view Master, view Masreik. I understand it was a Chiddush. The fact Reb Yehuda said in a bathhouse, pass the soap, pass the brush, but he said it Balashin Kodesh. There was a little bit of news there. Kamash Malon, Dvarim Shel Chol, Mutala Oimer Balashin Kodesh. You see, he was allowed to talk Balashin Kodesh. Now, it was Lashin Chol. He wasn't talking and learning. He said, pass the soap. But okay. It's Lashon Kodesh. So you think maybe that's not okay. Dvarim Shel Chol Mutalim Lashon Kodesh. Pesachu B'Maychal Avichu Havlo Nami Kodesh Mu. And why was he so excited, Reb Zeira, when he heard Reb Yehuda tell his gabbai, open your mouth, meaning breathe in and breathe out. Kodesh Mu. D'Amash Shmuel. Shmuel said, Shmuel was a doctor. That's why there's a lot of Mamori Chazal in Shas that are medically oriented, that are attributed to Shmuel. So Shmuel used to tell his chevra, Havla mapik, havla. That the way for a person to schwitz out what you're trying to get out when you sit in a schwitz is by inhaling. I mean, you have to inhale in order to exhale. Elo ishtu ma'ide be'bani ma'imal yusa. But the last thing that Reb Zeira heard Reb Yehuda say, which was drink water in the bathhouse. They serve water, have some water. What was so chashiv about that? The Gemara says, the Tanya, it's a braisa. If somebody eats but he doesn't drink, achila seidan. This food's not going to be good for him. In fact, it can cause abdominal issues. If a person eats and he doesn't do a little bit of exercise, he doesn't walk dalaramis. Achilas and markeves. He's not going to digest his food properly. Not just that, he'll have bad breath. If someone has to go to the bathroom and he eats while he has to go to the bathroom, he's comparable to an oven that you heated the oven using the old ashes. And that's not just good for bad breath, but the whole body is going to start smelling. If somebody bathes in hot water and he doesn't drink, that's what we need. That's like a tanner that you heat it from the outside, not from the inside. The tanner is not really going to do its job. Meaning, if you want to get the real benefit from bathing, You have to bathe and then drink after you bathe. And if somebody bathed in hot water and he didn't rinse himself off afterwards with cold water, he's comparable to barzel metal that was heated in fire, but they didn't pour cold water on it afterwards. If somebody bathed and he doesn't anoint himself with oil, he's like water that's on top of chavis as opposed to where it's inside. Regardless, the one piece that we need from all of this is that you see there's an idea that a person, after he bathes, is supposed to drink. Reb Zeira heard Rabbi Yehuda say this to his gabbai. This was the last thing he heard from the great Rabbi Yehuda, and he was so excited, he commented, "Umali like basi elo l'shmaya davar zeh." If someone has a mulyar, which was a keli, a vessel that was used to store hot water, as long as the coals were garuf, miloshin garufa, the halach is you're allowed to drink from it on Shabbos. Antiki, if someone has a vessel called an antiki that was also used to store hot water, afal pisha grufa, even if it's already garuf, ain't choice anyway. You're not allowed to drink from it on Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Nechidami mulyar agaruf." What exactly is this mulyar agaruf? Tana. So it was explained in a brisa. Mayim bebefnim v'kol mibachutz. So I'm not exactly sure what this is, but there was some sort of receptacle that had water inside of it. Attached to it was another receptacle where they kept coals. So if you were going to drink from it on Shabbos while the coals are there, you're going to do shahiyah with it. It's a problem. It's no different than the first sugis in Parakira. Mm-hmm. If it's garuf, however, so you did the proverbial grufa, so then already it's not going to be an issue. So if you want to drink from the mulyar on Shabbos, you want to do shahiyah, you have to make sure it's garuf. Antiki, however, the halacha, the Mishnah was, afal pisha grufa, even if you did grufa, ain't chas sinemena. So what exactly is this antiki? Rabbi said beikiri. Rabbi said there were certain kirois, as in parakira fame, that next to the area where the coals were kept, there was another little area where you were able to store a vessel where people would sometimes keep water that they wanted should get hot. Now, being that that water was inside the kira, the water would get extremely hot. So even if the coals in the kira were shoveled, still the halacha is not allowed to drink from it. Beidudi, he had a different understanding of what it was. Rashi says this is a yoyre gadol, a very large vat, and underneath the vat, there were two layers of like a stand that it sat on. In between the two layers, they had coals. On top of the upper layer, they stored water. So the water would get hot from being underneath the coals. So you have this huge vat, underneath it, you have one little receptacle, underneath that there's another receptacle. On the top of the upper receptacle, thank you, Aryeh, there's water. On the top of the lower one, there are coals. The bottom line is, that got so hot, apparently, that there too, even if it's gory, even if the coals aren't there anymore, you're not allowed to use it. That says that it's beidudi, it's that second shot, kolshkein beikiri. Meaning, if beidudi is a problem, for sure the beikiri is going to be a problem. If it's a beikiri, then it could be the beidudi is not a problem because the beikiri got hotter. So the whole point is it's so hot that it's asur even if it's garuf. So the beikiri got hotter than the beidudi. Either way, Tanya Kavasid Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, who said it's beidudi antichi afal picha grufa v'ktumei choisin imenu. And the reason is v'mneisha nechushtam b'cham emasa. So Rashi has two pshat of what nechushtam means, but in one pshat Rashi says nechushtam means the bottom of it. The bottom of it is so hot, and that's why it's asur even if it was already shoveled, even if it was garuf. So you see clearly it has nothing to do with the fact that it's an akira. It's related to this situation going on the bottom. This is the right Rav Nachman by Yitzchak's pshat. Zok the Mishnah weiter. Hamecham shepino. So a mecham is a kumkum, Rashi says. This is a keli that's used to store hot water or something else. It was on the fire. It was removed from the fire now. Shepinehu. We'll see exactly what this means in the Gemara. La'yitin l'saychitzoynin. The halach is you're not allowed to pour something cold inside of it, but shvil sheyechamu, for it to get hot, meaning for it to boil. Avol noisru l'toychoy. However, you are allowed to pour cold water into it, oy l'toychakoyz, or into a klisheni, k'dei l'avshiron, if your objective is merely to warm the water up. So the Gemara now, the next part of today's daf and the first part of tomorrow's daf is going to explain the Mishnah. So again, let's focus on the first part of the Mishnah. Ha-mecham shepino. You have a mecham. So this is a kumkum. It was on the fire. It's not on the fire anymore. Shepinehu. It's boiling hot. Lo yitein lo toichoy tsoinim b'shvil sheyechamu. You're not allowed to put cold water in it for it to get hot. Avom noisein hu lo toichoy
skipping the next words, because that's really a second halacha. So if you want to heat the water, that's a problem. If you want to just warm the water a little bit, that's not a problem. What does this Mishnah mean? So just like the Gemara didn't know what the first mission of the Perek meant, and the Gemara simply didn't even know how to read the mission. Again, the Gemara doesn't know how to read the mission. Look at the bottom Rashi. My Kama, my Pineo, what does Pineo mean? Umay Loyitain, what does Loyitain mean? Fadam Avonoisain, what does that mean? It's a very short Mishnah, but the Gemara has no idea what it means. So the Gemara says, Amar Abadabar Masa Hachikam. It means as follows. If you had a Mecham, there was hot water in it, it was on the fire, you took this Mecham off the fire. And here's the punchline. You took all the water out. So there's no water in it now. It's just a boiling hot kettle. But there's no water in it. Says the Mishnah, what's loyitein? A little bit of water. Because if you put a little bit of water in it, the water's going to boil. You're going to be cooking. Now, even though you're not cooking on top of fire, the mecham was removed from the fire, but the mecham is a kli rishon. What's the definition of a kli rishon? Any keli that was on the fire. So even though it's not on the fire now, but it's a kli rishon is mevashel. So you can't put a little bit of water, aval noisel seichamayim merubin, but you can put a lot of water in it, because a lot of water is not going to cook. All it's going to do is going to warm up a little bit. Warm up, as long as it's not seyel, so it's not bishul. In that case, it's not going to be an issue. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. So we're talking about a mechel that was removed from the fire. It was empty. Pineu means the contents of the mecham were emptied. Now the halach is you can't put a little bit of water, you can put a lot of water. Freik the Gemara. Why are you allowed to put a lot of water? V'aloi mitzarei. Forget about the water. I have another Hilchos Shabbos issue. And that is that if this mecham is really hot and you now add a lot of cold water into it, you know what you're going to do? You're going to be mitzarif. Rashi says you're going to be mechazek the kli. So the way the smiths used to make their kelim is they would heat it up like we saw earlier and then they would pour cold water on it, a lot of cold water. So enochinami, if you pour a lot of cold water, you're not cooking the water. But there's another problem. The problem is you're being mesakin mona. It's a makav patish issue. You're being mitzarif the kli. So the Gemara says, Reb Shimini, dama dama shen mischav mutter. He didn't have kavanah to do that. We're going coin to Reb Shimon, who holds a davish and meschavin is mutter. Meaning, enochinami, coin to Reb Yehuda that holds davish and meschavin is also. You wouldn't be allowed to do that. Because being that there's a mitzarif issue, it would be a problem. But according to Reb Shimon, it's mutter. Now, Tosis is medayik, all the rishonim, and this is a huge discussion if you were going to learn this Gemara b'in. It sounds like it's not a psikresha. Because if it's inevitable that pouring a lot of water on this keli would be mitzarif, that even Reb Shimon would have a problem. Because abayi v'rovet da amri travayu, maydi Reb Shimon psikresha. So clearly it's not a psikresha, which is a major discussion why it's not a psikresha. A fascinating discussion. But for now, the Gemara says, maskev l'abayi. Abayi said, I don't agree with Rav Adam Amas's pashup shan in the Mishnah. Because midi mecham shep. The way Rav Adar Bar Masna learned, the mecham was empty. You cleared out the contents of the mecham. Abai said, doesn't sound like that's what happened. It says a mecham shepino. It means the mecham was removed. It was cleared from its being on the fire. That's what happened. So the Gemara says, Elom Rabbi, Abai said, Abba from Shad, Hachi Kamar, Mecham Shapino, Viesh by Mayim Chaim. There was water. You never emptied out the water. There, the Allah is like, Mayim, what? You can't put a little bit of water because the water is going to cook it. And the water, again, has an ability to cook, even though it's not on the fire. Klerishin's Mavashal. Have a nice one with Mayim Rumi. You can put a lot of water in it. Gidei Lavshin, because if you put a lot of water, all it's going to do is going to warm it a little bit. That's not an issue. Mecham Shapino, Mayim. But what would be, said Abai, if you take emptied out all the water, then you wouldn't even be able to put a lot of water in. Because then you'd have a problem mitzarif. For Rabbi Yehudi, it's going to Rabbi Yehuda, Davashin Mitzchav is also. Meaning, we have two pshatim how to learn the Mishnah. Hamecham shapino. Pino what? Rashi said, my pino. Does it mean that the mecham was merely removed from the fire, but the water is still in the fire? Or is still in the mecham? Or does it mean that it was emptied out from its water? As it relates to Hilchos Shabbos, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Either way, the water's going to cook it, the mecham's going to cook it, it's a kli rishon. If you put a little bit of it, it's bishul. If you put a lot of it, it's not bishul. So from the standpoint of Hilchos Bishul, which is the topic of the day, we're learning Perek Kira, it doesn't matter. But where it matters is, b'derech agav, is there a mitzarif issue or not? If the Mishnah's talking about where you emptied out the water, clearly there's no mitzarif issue. Why not? There's a good chance there'll be mitzarif. It's not a psikresha, but it might happen. Must be the Mishnah's Reb Shimon holds davish and mischavin is mutter. If the Mishnah's davka not talking about where you emptied out the water, meaning pinel, the way Abai understood in the diktuk of the Mishnah, it's talking about that the water is still there. That means the Mishnah's going out of its way to say that the water is still there. Why? Because if you would empty out the water, it'd be a problem. Why? What's the difference if the water is there or is not there? Why are we getting so excited? Oh, because you'd have a mitzarif problem.
It's a Dovah Shein Mischa, or must be the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda. So where Chabsecha Nafgamin is not in Hilchas Bishul, it's in Hilchas Metzaref. But it's really a point, it's a fundamental principle that permeates the whole Masechta. Is this a Stam Mishnah like Rav Shimon who holds Dovah Shein Mischa and his Mutter? Or is this a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda that holds Dovah Shein Mischa and his Asa? The Gemara says that there were other Amayiram that discussed this as well. Earlier Amayiram. Amar Rav. The great Rav said, Loishanu, related to this Mishnah, this halacha that you're allowed to put water is only lahafshir. If you're trying to warm the water, aval letzarif also, but if you're going to get into an issue where you're going to be mitzarif, then this is going to be a problem. Shmuel HaMashmuel said, afil letzarif nami mutter. You could even be mitzarif. So the Gemara says, Shmuel said you could be mitzarif. No one said you could be mitzarif. Letzarif lekatchila mishar, you could do lekatchila. Meaning, Rav Shimon holds Zavish and Mitzchav and his mutter. So if you put a lot of water, you didn't have a mind to be mitzarif. Pump, that might happen. Okay, Rav Shimon. But how could Shmuel say lekatchila you could do it? The Gemara says right. Eli iet mahachi it meant like this. Amar Rav Rav said loishan ralas shir lahavsh. The Mishnah is talking about where there was a shear to be mafshir. Avol shir letzarif. If there was so much that you could even be mitzarif, in that case it would be aser. Meaning Rav understood that the Mishnah is going where you emptied out the mecham completely. But the Mishnah is not going according to Rav Shimon that holds Dovah Shein Mischav and is mutter. It's going according to Rav Yehuda that holds Dovah Shein Mischav and is aser. Not like Rav Adar Bar Masna said. And he's making an akimta that when you added a lot of water, it was enough water that it won't cook. It won't be Yatzei Ledes Poy, but not so much water that it would be Mitzarev. Shmuel HaMashmuel said, I feel a Shiel Tzarev Mutter. Even if it's a Shiel Tzarev, it's going to be Mutter. What's the machloik is Rav and Shmuel? Rav clearly holds Dovah Shein Mischav and is Aser. Shmuel clearly holds Dovah Shein Mischav and is Mutter. Frank the Gemara, the name of the Shmuel, Rav Shimon's Firle. Could it be there if Shmuel holds like Rav Shimon that holds Dovah Shein Mischav and is Mutter? Shmuel said, Mechabin Gachel Shal Matches, Bishus HaRabin, Bishus HaRabin, completely unrelated halacha. You're allowed to extinguish a coal of metal. So if you have a matchis coal, you're allowed to extinguish it on Shabbos. If it's in a Rishos HaRabim, if you're afraid that people may get hurt. The reason is because a gachela shel matchis, if you extinguish it, it's only kibli derabanan. It's not possible to be over the malacha of mechaba on a gachela shel matchis. So I mean, this is only an issue of a derabanan. If it's in a Rishos HaRabim and there's a nezek of a rabbin at stake, we allow you to extinguish it on Shabbos. But you're not allowed to do it if it's a gachla shalait. Frank the Gemara. Now if Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon, I feel shalait's not me. It should be mutter even if it's in shalait. Why? Because if you extinguish a gachla shalait, l'chayra, it's mechaba, right? Why? That's regular kibbuy. Gachla shalmatches is not kibbuy. But gachela shaleit is kibbuy. There's only one rationale the Gemara says why maybe this should be a problem. Meaning, the reason gachela shaleit is really kibbuy. However, it's a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. Why is it a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa? Because the pashit definition of malacha she'tzricha legufa and malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is Rashi's shita, which is if you're doing a malacha because you want in a positive way, the outcome of this malacha, that's a malacha tzrich legufa. If you're doing it defensively, I don't really care about the kibbuy, I'm afraid of the fire. So that's a malacha shein tzrich legufa. L'chura, this is a malacha shein tzrich legufa. And if it's a malacha shein tzrich legufa, according to Rav Shimon, it's only asa midrabanan. If that's the case, you should be able to extinguish it, b'shvil shel yezuku rabba. Yet Shmuel said, a gachela shel matchis, that you could extinguish. A gachela shaleit, you can't extinguish. Why? Must be. Gachela shalmatchis is a kibbe de rabbanan. Because a matchis is no kibbe de raisa. Gachela shaleit is kibbe de raisa. But why is it kibbe de raisa? It's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. Must be. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. That malacha shein tzricha legufa is chayiv. The problem is you just said Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon that holds Dava Shein Mischavin is mutter. Now, at first glance, you're going to tell me this is Tanai Chitin Vahido Lai Sairin. We're talking about the machlaikis Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, whether Dava Shein Mischavin is mutter or aser. And you're talking to me, you're asking me a kasha from the machlaikis. Like it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa, whether malacha shein tzricha legufa is chayiv or malacha shein tzricha legufa is pater avalaser. They're both Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. They're both very important machloikas in. They're both not easy sugyas. They both permeate the whole Masechta Shabbos, but they're two completely unrelated things. So maybe Shmuel holds, like Reb Shimon, that a davar shein mischaven is mutter. That's why you can even add a shir letzarev into your pot. But at the same time, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that a malach and shein tzricha leguf is chayiv. And that's why if you have a gachela shaleitz, You can't be mechavet even with shul shalayazuka barabin. And the Gemara says that's the teretz. Bedavet sheinu mischavin. That meaning this is the Gemara's teretz. It's not Reb Kivei Gaskash. It's the Gemara's teretz. Bedavet sheinu mischavin. Savala kareb Shimon. Bimalach shein tzricha lagufa. Savala kareb Yehuda. Amar Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu said I have one takeaway from this Gemara, and that is hilchach. Chayitz b'shus rabim. Somebody sees a thorn in a shus rabim. Ma'lichet pachas medal rabim. You can get rid of it on Shabbos. Walk less than Dalar Amos at a time. You won't be over Haitza Midai Raisa. You'll be over Haitza Midai Rabbanon. But not Haitza Midai Raisa. I Chatzi Shir Asim and Atayra. So that was the raid from the beginning of the Masechta. But you won't be over Chatzi. You won't be over Haitza Midai Raisa. And you see that Beshvul Shal Yazuka Bar Rabin, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos Midai Rabbanon. Ube Carmelis. And if you find a thorn in a Carmelis, I feel a tuva, you can run with it. You can do whatever you want with it. Bottom line is, that's another shmamina that we get out of today's daf. So today's daf was super loaded from the halachas of Klisheni to this last Gemara that we just learned. We had Dovah Shein Mischavin, we had Malach Shein Tzricha Lagufa, we had the halach of Yatzei led this boy. An absolute loaded Gemara stating that as it relates to the raid bites, I think we'll focus on a lighter point that came up a few times in the Gemara. The coming daf and now are going to be intense Hilcha Shabbos. So I just thought a little calm before the storm. Just two ha'aris as it relates to the halacha of being maharer b'divrei Torah in a Beis HaMerchitz and in a Beis HaKiseh. The Gemara said, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'chol makom mutar laharer chutz mi Beis HaMerchitz u mi Beis HaKiseh. A person's allowed to be maharer b'divrei Torah anywhere with the exception of a Beis HaMerchitz and a Beis HaKiseh. Additionally, the Gemara said, if you can't be maharer b'divrei Torah, you certainly can't talk in learning. Not only can't you talk in learning b'lashon HaKodesh, you can't talk in learning b'lashon Chol either. What the Gemara said, you would have thought maybe you cannot do, but you can do, is a person is allowed to speak Lashon Dvarim Shel Chol B'Lashon Kodesh in a Beis Mechitz. You would think Lashon Kodesh is Kodesh, maybe that's something that you're not allowed to do. Kamash Malan, that is something you're allowed to do. What's the halacha? Is a person allowed to do a mitzvah in a Beis HaKiseh or in a Beis HaMerchitz? Could you shake a lulav in a Beis Mechitz? In a Beis HaKiseh? Is a person allowed to do a mitzvah? You find this halacha of Divrei Torah. We learned sugyas together in Masechtas Brachos. V'hoyah machanecha kadosh. What about a mitzvah? Is there an idea that maybe one is not allowed to be mekayim a mitzvah if he's in a place that he's not allowed to be maharib b'divrei Torah? So the truth is, it's a mefurish abir halacha. It's in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. It's in Erechaim Simin Tov Kuf Pei Ches. But before the bir halacha, we need a little bit of an introduction. The Mechaber in Simin Tov Kuf Pei Ches discusses the bir minimum amount of tkiyos that a person has to hear on Rosh Hashanah in order for, very in Yonah D'Yayma, in order for him to be yoitza his mitzvah tkiyos shayfer. And the Shulchan Aruch says, what's the bare minimum of tkiyos you have to hear? You have to hear 9 tkiyos. Says the Mechaber, Shama tes tkiyos b'tes shoyos b'yoyim. Let's say you heard 9 tkiyos during 9 hours of the day. Afilu he mites b'nei adam. Even if you heard it from 9 different baltei tkiyos. So you went to 9 different shuls, 9 different baltei. You heard a tkiyah, then you heard a trua, then you heard a tkiyah, and a tashrat, and a maisa. You put together 9 tkiyos. It's a mefurish halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Meaning, even though it was done with an incredible hefsek in between the tkiyos, you even heard it from different balei tekeya. It doesn't matter. Talach is shama test tkiyos betes shoyis bayoyim yotza va'afilu heim mites pnei yodim tkiyah mizeh v'trua mizeh v'tkiyah mizeh. Talach is that you're going to be yotza. Says the Magen Avraham that before you get excited about this halacha, ayin simin samache. Take a look at Erechaim simin samache. It's mavur over there. The imafsek machmas oynes chayzal arosh. It's mavur there that if somebody would make a hefsek in the middle of doing something that he's doing, and the hefsek was done not by his own volition, but machmas oynes, he was forced into being mafsek, dear, the halacha is going to be different. What's Erechaim Simin Samechei? It's Hilchas Kriyishma. And the Mechaber over there discusses, are you allowed to pause in the middle of Kriyishma? So Masechtas Brachos, we learned the halachas of being masik in the middle of Kriyishma. But that's talking and Mipnei HaKovid, Mipnei HaYira. What the Mechaber over there is discussing is simply being masik. Beshtika.
You'd be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. So what's the halacha? So Mechaber says you can be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. There's no halacha that says you have to say it in one shot. You can stretch it out. It's not the end of the world. Says the Magen Avraham. Says the Mechaber, however, if the hefsik happened machmas oynis, v'yesh oyim, dem hoya onus v'hefsik, kidei ligmar kula chayzal arash. If you were forced into being mafsik, meaning if you voluntarily were mafsik, it's one thing. But if you were forced into being mafsik, you were mafsik machmas oynis, then the halacha is going to be different. And the Magen Avraham has a long shmooze as to what the definition of being mafsik machmas oynis is. And he comes out with maskana. He says the only time a hefsik machmas oynis is considered a hefsik as it impacts the laws of Kriya Shema is if the oynis was because of your guf. There was something wrong with you. So you went to the bathroom. You had an accident of some sort. You're now not in a clean state where you're able to say Kriya Shema. So there's an oinus where the guf, the mensch himself, is dochoy. He himself can't say Kriya Shema anymore. That type of oinus, machmas dover achar, there's a halacha that in hifse, kidei ligmar is kulo chayzal arash. But any other type of oinus from something external, not related to your own body, this halacha is not going to be true. Freik de bir halacha. If that's the case, I don't understand the Magen Avraham's comment in Simen Tovkov Peches. The Mechaber said if your ninth key is 9 hours in the day from nine different Balei Tekeya, the halacha is going to be yotze. Meaning the hefsek doesn't bother me. Says the Magen Avraham, 1 second, you have to read the fine print, literally. Take a look at the Raman, Simen Samachay. Look at what I said over there. It's not so poshut. Freit the bir halacha, it's a pella to me. I went through that Magen Avraham and Simen Samachay, and the Magen Avraham was discussing Hilchas Kriya Shema, where the Raman says that if you are mafsik, but it was machmas oynis, it's a problem. Says the Magen Avraham, not every oynis is a problem. Only if the oynis was an oynis machmas your guf. You were unclean. You were in a state where you couldn't say Kriya Shema. Because it was a problem with your guf. That's where this halacha is true. If that's the case, Freit Dibra Halacha, what does that have to do with Hilchas Tkiya Shofar? Tkiya Shofar, why should the fact that your guf is not naki be an issue? In Hilchas Kriya Shema, I hear it. Because if your guf wasn't clean right now, that's not just a hefsek, I stop for a second. I'm dochoy, right this second I can't say Kriya Shema. So it's not just a hefsek, I hit the pause button, I hit the stop button. It's a problem. I'm in a state now where I'm not clean, where I cannot say Kriya Shema. So because I'm in a state that I'm not clean, that I cannot say Kriya Shema, so now that's considered a hefsek. But in Kriya Shema, there's halacha v'yavachan echa kodesh. You're not allowed to say Kriya Shema in such a state. But where do you find such halacha? In Tkiya Shofar. V'koshali. V'koshali, I'll read it inside. Masha chriya Rab Magen Avraham b'simin samachay shaloi lahachmer behifzik machmas oynis elim kein b'shoha oynis hu beguf hadavar ki goin shaloi yahadam ro'u machmas guf naki oy shaloi haya makim ro'u shaloi haya naki in kein l'chayru le shayich zerak b'tfila oy b'berchas hamazoy u b'halul b'megillah shal koponim asa lahask yoshem v'loi madivrei toira b'makim etunof masha ekin b'tkiyos she'inei rak maisa mitzvah. Zog doch auf ins Chaim. Verheichon motzinu scho osu le Chaim mitzvah kishe gufa yenoi noki. Oi bemokim she yenoi noki. Hoi im osu lilboish talish al dalit kanfois. Kishe gufa yoi amokim yenoi noki. Loi motzinu kei beshum mokim. Vitzorichir. That's the Be'alachas Kasha, a bomba Kasha. He says, I understand why a guf naki is a hefsek in Hilchas Kriya Shema, because right now I can't be mekayim the mitzvah. So just to hit the pause button, that type of hefsek doesn't bother me. But if I'm in a state where I can't be mekayim the mitzvah, that's a real hefsek. Oh, now we're ready, chayzal arash. That's a svara in Kriya Shema, where if I don't have a guf naki, I couldn't say Kriya Shema. But there's no halacha anywhere, it says the Chafetz Chaim. I never heard of such a thing as it relates to a mitzvah. He says, by the way, I think I have a raya. My raya is from tzitzis. So if that's the case, at first glance, it's a palace. He brings from the Mate Ephraim, that the Mate Ephraim already discussed this, and his madchik is the Chafetz Chaim. He says, maybe the issue with doing a mitzvah in a Beis HaMerchetz or in a Beis HaKiseh is because we paskin mitzvahs tzriches kavana. Now we're makel by certain mitzvahs, the chayyadam, ki yodua, but maybe it's the mitzvah striches kavon, it's that kavon, that hearer, that inalini be maharin of Esakise, regardless, a fascinating bir halacha in the beginning of Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, Simin Tov Kuf Peches. I was thinking, as it relates to this plea in the skava that the bir halacha asks on the Magen Avraham, that maybe you could say pshat based on a well-known chiddush from the Brisker Rav. We say during Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, again, this is not very in Yonah de Yoyma. So during one of the brachas, Shofres, ki ato shoymeya kol shofar, umazin teruah, ve'ein doy melach.
Baruch Ato Hashem Shoimea Kol Truas Am Yisrael Berachamim. Again, Ki Ato Shoimea Kol Shoifer. Return to the Eibishter. Tell the Eibishter, we're blowing the Shoifer. You are a Shoimea Kol Shoifer. Umazin Trua. You listen to the Trua. Ve'en Daimeloch. Baruch Ato Hashem Shoimea Kol Truas Am Yisrael Berachamim. And the Briskerov said that Lechura, the Nusach of the Tefillah, at first glance, is very, very schwer. Hashem is Shoimea Kol Shoifer. We have a mitzvah to be Shemeya, the Kol Shofar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches us listen to the Shofar. Why is Eibush listening to the Shofar? We have a mitzvah to listen to the Shofar. Shofar is a mitzvah, said the Brisker Rav. It's no different than Dalet Minim. It's no different than any other mitzvah. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're Shemeya Kol Shofar. You're mazin the Kol Teruah. Brisker Rav said, why? David just has to make sure we're doing the mitzvah. Okay, so he has to watch us, and he has to observe that we're doing what we need to do, which is Shemeya Kol Shofar, and being mazin kol teruah. But he says, what's this emphasis that we turn to Hashem, and we tell Hashem, ki ata Shemeya Kol Shofar, umazin kol teruah. And the Brisker Rav said, Baruch Ata Hashem, Shemeya Kol Teruah, Am Yisrael Berachamim. You know, that sounds like Shemeya Tefillah. Shemeya Kol Teruah Am Yisrael. Noch mit Rachmanis Eibishter listen. We're the ones listening to the Shofar. Why is Eibishter listening to the Shofar? He's watching us do the mitzvah. Okay, do you ever hear a mitzvah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiyata, you watch us take the Dalet Minim. You watch us every day put on the tefillin. Baruch Ato Hashem, who watches us putting on tefillin. So the Brisker Rav said a Dovah Naira. He said, Vaistois. Ktiyas Shofar isn't just a mitzvah. His advice is Ktiyas Shofar is also a tefillah. That when we blow Shofar, we're being mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're yelling at him. We're screaming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not through the medium of dibur, of speech, but through the medium of the Shofar. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah is mekabel the tefillahs of the Shofar. And that's the tefillah. Ki ata shemeya kol Shofar, umazin trua vein doimelach. Baruch Ato Hashem, Shemeya Kol Truas Am Yisrael Berachamim. The Brisker Rav said that with this he thinks you could say Pshat in a Rambam. A Rambam that we've all heard 1,000 times in Hilchis Tainis, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah, Lizoik V'Lo'oria B'chat Soitzroiz, Al Kol Tzora Shaloi Tavoy. Zevi, the mute is a little bit of an issue. I hear some talking in the background. Zevi, maybe unmuted, unmuted. So the Rambam says, Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah, Lizoik V'leha Ria, B'chatzoy Tzreitz, Al Kol Tzorah Shatovei Al HaTzibur. This is the first halach in the Rambam's Hilchos Tainis. That if there's ever a Tainis, there's ever a Tzorah, so there's a Mitzvah Saseh, Lizoik to scream out, U'leha Ria, B'chatzoy Tzreitz, Al Kol Tzorah Shloitovei Al HaTzibur, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Alatsoir, Atsoir Reschem, Varioischem Bechatsoitris. So the Brisker Rav said, I don't understand. The Pasuk says that anytime there's going to be a Tzara, Varioischem Bechatsoitris. You have to blow Shofar, Varioischem Bechatsoitris. So it's a Makar that if there's a Tzara, Shaloi Tovei Alatsibur, what do you have to do? You have to blow Chatsoitris. But the Rambam said that you don't just have to blow Chatsoitris, you also have to scream. Mitzvah Saseim in HaTorah, Lizoik. There's a mitzvah to scream, means to daven, but not just to daven, to shrei, to yell, and to blow chatzoitzer. So Brisker Rav said, the Rambam's bringing him a card to two things. There's a mitzvah to daven, to scream, and there's a mitzvah to blow chatzoitzer. How do I know that? Because it says in Torah, you should blow chatzoitzer. That's a makar, you should blow chatzoitzer. Where's that a makar? Lizoik, where do you see from there that you're supposed to daven? So the Brisker Rav said, hein advarim. Because what's the idea of tkiyas chatzoitzer on a yom tainis? It's like Kiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. The Shofar is a medium for tefillah. The Chatzoitzrois were a medium for tefillah. If that's the case, once I know that Alatzor Atzor Reschem, the Harioischem, the Chatzoitzrois, so from there I know that there's a mitzvah to daven. Not just a mitzvah to daven, there's a mitzvah to yell, Lizoy, because why would you want the Chatzoitz? What's the idea of a trumpet? What's unique about a trumpet? It makes a lot of noise. You can make as much noise as you want to make. The loudest person in the world is not a trumpet, right? Sometimes, but usually not. So that's the point. The point is that from there we see there's an need to daven and to make a lot of noise. So if it's a makar for the harioys and the chatzoitzis, it's a makar lizoikul haria. That's the point. Because Rav Yisoid was that shofar isn't just a maisa mitzvah. Shofar is a tefillah. Rav Shmuel Yankiv, in his shmuzin that he gave on Rosh Hashanah, was very mayrich with the Brisker Rav Yisoid, and he brought many rayas to it. One of his rayas was the Mishnah Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. There's a discussion whether the shofar was supposed to dafka be straight. It should be a horn of an animal that's straight, or dafka should be kafuf. So the Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah Rosh Hashanah Chavavim and Beis, is shofar shal Rosh Hashanah shal Ya'el. It should be of a certain goat. It should be pashut. Rashi says, what does pashut mean? Why? Meaning, why should it be straight? The midi de tefillah by pshitos. What does it have to do with tefillah? What's Rosh Hashanah have to do with tefillah? Pukt, we blow shofar during davening. But is there an inherent, an intrinsic relationship, kesher, between shofar and tefillah? The answer is yeah. The answer is because the shofar alone is at tefillah. So that's why we say after tkiya shofar. So what do we say? Aresha sefaseinu, it's a tefillah. Yerav lefanecha keurom v'nisa meivin umazin mabed umakshev v'kol tkiya yisenu. Debish tefashteiz it, he's mazin it. If this isn't a tefillah, this is just a mitzvah. Shefashteiz on dalad minim. It doesn't make sense. The teretz is an idea of tefillah. But either way, if Rosh Hashanah is a tefillah, like the Brisker Rav said, could be it's miyushiv kimin chaymer. The Bir Halacha's kasha and the Magen Avraham. His kasha was, I understand, the Mechaber discussed Halacha, if you hear 9 tkiyas, 9 hours a day from 9 different Bali Tekeya, the Halacha's your yoytza. Says the Magen Avraham, take a look at what I wrote in Hilchas Kriyishma, in Simas HaMechei. Bir Halacha said, I looked at what the Magen Avraham said. And he was discussing Hilchas Kriyishma, where you're allowed to be mafsik in middle Kriyishma, but if you're mafsik machmas oynis, the Ramah says, and you waited the amount of time it would take you to finish Kriyishma, you have to start from the beginning. And the Magen Avraham said, it's only true if the hefsek was because you couldn't say Kriyishma. For example, you never guf naki, or you were in a Beis HaKisei, you were in a Beis HaMerchitz. So as Bir Halacha said, I took a look at the Magen Avraham said over there, there's no Shaykh Star Halacha. We're discussing a mitzvah. You're allowed to do a mitzvah in a Beis HaKisei. You're allowed to do a mitzvah in a Beis HaMerchitz. So why would a hefsek of Kriyas Shaifer, because you went to the bathroom where there was an issue of that sort, be a problem? The teretz is because tkiyas shofar is different than all other mitzvahs. Tkiyas shofar is a tefillah. By tefillah, you have the halacha, you're not allowed to be mispal. What was the bir halacha's lashon? His lashon was, "Im kein l'chayr le'shayich zeh rak b'tefillah, or b'birchas hamazon, u'b'halo b'megillah, shal kopar ha'masal ha'haskir shav, v'loim et v'rei toir v'makom etunah." Assuming in the kasha that Rosh Hashanah, that tkiyas shofar had to do with tefillah. But the Brisker Rav Maron agrees was mechadesh that tkiyas shofar very much has to do with tefillah. If it has to do with tefillah, could be that's a teretz to the Bir Halacha's Kasha on the Magen Avraham. That's the first aura. The second aura is, so the Gemara came out, Dvarim Shel Kodesh, you're not allowed to say in the Beis HaMerchitz, even B'Lashon Chol. But Dvarim Shel Chol, you are allowed to say B'Lashon Kodesh. Sam Sofer, in his Gilyon on the Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim, Simin Pei He, quotes from the Sefer Chassidim, that the Sefer Chassidim said that even though the halach in Shulchan Aruch is that Dvarim Shel Chol Mutar La'omer B'Lashon Kodesh, but that's only a B'diavad. L'katchila, that's not what you should do. Says the Chassam Sofer, venerally, I think that it's for that reason, Mishum Hachi Hinhigu Aviseinu as B'neiem Mibli L'Saper B'Lashon HaKodesh. I think that's why Yidden, at some point, stopped speaking Lashon Kodesh. Once upon a time, the Yidden spoke on Lashon Kodesh. And then somewhere along the way, it stopped. In fact, B'Bayah Sheni, we just had the Marsha. The Marsha said that why when the convert came to Hillel and he told me, teach me Kol HaTorah Kula Regalacha. So what did he say? Madalach Sni L'Chavr Chloy Savit. So Hillel, so Frank the Marsha, what he should have told him was, V'Yahavtu Re'acha Kamaycha. And really two kashas. Number one, why are you talking backwards? Madalach Sni L'Chavr Chloy Savit. Talk straight. V'Yahavtu Re'acha Kamaycha. And besides, why did he switch from Lashon Kodesh to Aramaic? So the Marsha says that the reason he switched from Lashon Kodesh to Aramaic is because that was the language people spoke. People used to speak in Aramaic. When you began your Seder, so how do you start to say the Holach Ma'anya, the Cholu Avasan? Everybody asks, so why do you start Holach Ma'anya in Aramaic? L'cheru, you should start in Lashon Kodesh. So there's a lot of nice drush from big tzaddikim that was said to say Pshat, and why we start Holach Ma'anya in Aramaic, and why we don't say the Lashon Kodesh. But ain't Mikra Yoitzim Idei Pshutai. What's the Pashut Pshat? That Marsha, like that Marsha that we learned together, Masach the Shabbos. Shabbos Lamed Aleph, that is the Pashut Pshat. The Pshat is because at the end of the day, that's the language they spoke. When the Haggadah and all these Nuschais were put together, so that was the language. You're going to say Halach Manu, the Chalu Avasana, and all the Aniyim that you're inviting, Kol Dich Min Yetziv Yechel, they don't understand what you're saying. Just like Hill had to talk to the Ger in Aramaic, so you should know what he's talking about. So too, when you say Halach Manu, you have to say it in a language that people are going to understand. But the point is, the Yidden used to speak Lashon Kodesh, and somewhere along the way, it flipped to Lashon Chol. Says the Chassam Sofer, I think that you know when it switched? It switched in Bavel. When the Yidden went to Bavel, that's when it all switched. That's when they stopped speaking Lashon Kodesh, and that's why even the Yidden, Shleishinu es Lashonam, even the Yidden, that was the schus they left with that, but they decided, no, not anymore. We can't speak Lashon Kodesh anymore. So he said, why? He said, he thinks the reason is because Bava was Malaya Gilulim. It was full of Avodah Zarah. And we know that just like you're not allowed to be Mahar B'Divrei Torah in the presence of a Beis HaMerchitz, or if you're in a Beis HaKiseh, the same Malach is true if you're in a place that's Malaya Gilulim. And by the way, it's a Rashi and Chumash. Rashi says in the Parashas Va'era, with regards, in the end of Parashas, Va'era, regarding Makas Barad, that by Makas Barad, what Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ketzesi Min O'ir, he couldn't daven in Mitzrayim. Why could he daven in Mitzrayim? Rashi says, because it was Malaya Gilulim, and he couldn't daven in Mitzrayim. So you see that a place that's Malaya Gilulim is like a base Merchitz, it's like a base Akise. There's an issue of Ahoya Machanecha Kadesh when you're in the presence of Gilulim of Avodah Zarah. So he says that Yidin arrived in Bavel, and it was all Malaya Gilulim. And because it was Malaya Gilulim, they couldn't talk Lashon Kodesh anymore. Why? I thought Dvarim Shalchal Mutalay Rav Lashon Kodesh. It's this Sefer Chassidim. It's true. Look at B'diavad, it's fine. It's not the end of the world. And that's why the Gemara brought Maises with Amiram that did it. Passed the soul, passed the this. It's fine B'diavad, but it's not L'chatchila. That it's not. And being that it's not something that's L'chatchila, so it's for that reason, that's why the meaning in Klal Yisrael became, when they went to Bavel, that's when it flipped. You want to know when the Yidden went from speaking Lashon Kodesh to speaking Lashon Chol, that's when it all happened. But there's one takeaway you have to have from all this. And that is, there's a chashivas to Lashon Kodesh, right? Lashon Kodesh isn't just another language. It's clearly more chashiv. If l'katchili, you're not supposed to speak Lashon Kodesh when you're in a Beis HaMerchitz. So what does that say about Lashon Kodesh? It's a Gemara. The Gemara has to speak out. Dvarim shel chol mutal la'omrim b'Lashon HaKodesh. There would have been a havamina not that way. Chassam Soifis says, rest of the story is, that's when Yidden stopped speaking Lashon Kodesh when they went to Bavel. So what's so special about Lashon Kodesh? The Ramban in Parshas Kisisa. So the context over there is he's talking about the Machtzis HaShekel, which the Torah refers to as Machtzis HaShekel B'Shekel HaKodesh. So the Ramban talks about why did the Machtzis HaShekel was called the Shekel HaKodesh. And from there he digresses. He says, V'chein hatam etzli b'mash Rabbi Yisrael koirim loshen ha-toyro loshen ha-kodesh. So I explain to you why the Shekel is called the Shekel HaKodesh. Let me explain to you now why the loshen ha-kodesh is called loshen ha-kodesh. Mipnei shedivrei ha-toyro v'ha-nevuah v'chol divrei k'dusha kulam loshen ha-hu nemru. The Torah was given the Lashon Kodesh. The Nevi'im, when they received Nevuah, they received the Lashon HaKodesh. V'hinei, hu ha-Lashon HaKodesh Baruch Hu yizbarach shmei b'dabar b'im Nevi'im v'madasai. Hashem, when he communicated with the Nevi'im, but even when he spoke to Klal Yisrael, he spoke Lashon HaKodesh. How do you know that? Kus ha-Noichi v'lo-yilucha, hu shara dibrois ha-Torah v'anavu yechichu. Ha-Noichi v'lo-yilucha, it's Lashon HaKodesh, m'pi'a gvura shamanim, u'bay nikra b'shmois v'akdoshim. The names of HaKodesh Baruch Hu are all Lashon HaKodesh. Keil Elikim, Tzvakos v'shakai, v'yud hei. Vashem Hagodol HaMiyuchad. Incidentally, the Ramban counts Yud-Heh separate from the Shem Yud-Keh Vav-Keh. There's a Vilna Gaon somewhere that clears if the Shem Yud-Keh, Ka, is that half of the Shem HaVaya? As in Tosfos Brachos Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, Ein Shmoy Shalom, until Mashiach's going to come? Or is there a new Shem called Shem Ka? It's a Bir Agra in Yerideh. He brings a Raya from a Targum Unkel somewhere. This Ramban is a Raya. He brings all the Shemes that are Pelashon HaKodesh, the Shem Yud-Heh and the Shem Hagodol. It's the same shame. You see, it's not the same shame. Ubay bar olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the chaf beis oisias. V'kara shemay shamayim v'aretz v'chal hashabam. U'malacha v'chal tzvav l'chulam ha-shem yikra michael v'gavriel michael. These are all Lashon Kodesh names. Ubay kara shemay l'ktoish mashab aretz. And the names of the tzaddikim. And the Rabban lists a few tzaddikim. Which tzaddikim? Avram, Yitzchak, u'shloimai. Vizulasam, interesting. Not Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. Avram Yitzchak and Shlomo. These are all Lashon Kodesh names. But either way, says the Ramban, that's why Lashon Kodesh is considered a little bit more Kodesh. Just to end with something interesting, there's a tshuva from Rabbi Yaakov Emden. This is a classic tshuva. It's in Shelus Yaivitz. It's in Chelik Aleph. It's Simen Yud. He said, Nistapakti, I had a suffix, Imuta la'ayim bebeisa kisei, bemishkoli Hashem oisva'apola. I think he means diktok. Is a person allowed to be ma'ayim in a beisa kisei? See, let her learn diktuk in a Beis HaKiseh. So in those times, diktuk was a hot button topic. But this is Rabbi Yaakov Emden Shaila. Is a person allowed to study diktuk if he's in a Beis HaKiseh? He says, "V'hayinir l'chayr the mutter da'kay malon dvarim shel chayl." Mutal Oimran Belashon HaKodesh. He said, Dvarim Shalchayil, you're allowed to say Belashon HaKodesh. At the end of the day, Diktuk is just, it's Dvarim Shalchayil. It's a language. It's a subject.
And it's Lashon Kodesh, but it's a Mefurash Gemara. And he writes, Vahosa Michna Va'avidna Uvdo La'ayim Be'Beis Akisei. He says, I was soimich on this, because when I was in the Beis Akisei, Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, I used to study Sifrei philosophy, Hamu'utokim L'Lashon Ivri. In Lashon HaKodesh, Kegoin Sefer Amidos La'aristoi Va'adoimolo. It's fascinating. Yaakov Emden writes this in a tshuva. This is in the first person. He says he studied Sefer Amidos as an example that was authored by Aristotle. He read it by Lashon HaKodesh. What do you mean? Lashon HaKodesh in a Beis HaKisei? The Teretz is Varm Shalchol. That's what it is. Mutar La'irim Beis HaKisei. But then he says he's not sure. He says the reason he's not sure is because if you're going to study Diktok, so imagine you sat there, you study Diktok. So what's the first thing that's going to come to your mind? Psukim. Yaakov Emden said you're going to have Shtiklach Torah. If Yaakov Emden studied Diktok, he would write 10 Svarim on Diktok. So he would start writing Tshuvas. He said, there's nothing wrong in and of itself of studying Diktok in a Beis HaKisei. He says, my only issue is where it's going to lead you. It's going to start taking you to places. So it's based on that, I have a little bit of an issue. And then he says like this, Shamati al Ramban, Zuchreinu Levracha. That when the Ramban was in a Beis HaKisei, again, I'm not going to translate it. He says, who was Rabbi Yaakov Emden's father? The Chacham Tzvi, the God of Adar. He says, my father did the same thing. He says, if they were able to study Diktuk in a bathroom, they would have never studied this. He says, this was a B'diyevet she'B'diyevet, and they knew it. But they did it because they had no choice. And it's based on that. He says, that's why they did it. So he ends with one kasha. We'll end with this kasha as well. Everyone knows this Gemara. We have raid bites on this. But this is one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. It's the Gemara Masechtas Menachis, Dav Tzadik Tesamid Beis. The Gemara says, Shol Ben Doma, Ben Achoysay to Rabbi Yishmol, is Rabbi Yishmol. Rabbi Yishmol, the great Rabbi Yishmol, had a nephew. His name was Ben Dama, and he came to his uncle and he asked him a question. And he prefaced it like this: "Kegoy nani shalomadeti kol ha'Torah kulo. I learned kol ha'Torah kulo. Ma'u lumoid chachmas yavanis. Amaleis, am I let us study Greek?" So he says, "Could I learn chachmas yavanis?" So he told him the pasuk says, "La'yomer sevat Torah zemi picha." You have to learn Torah yom v'alayla. Say you badik if you can go find the time. She'en aloy min ayoy v'aloy min alayla. Knock yourself out. Lemoid chachmas yavanis. But if you can't find a time that's the ain't a miyam, the assumption is it's either day or night. Ben ashmashes maybe, but it's either day or night. So based on that, it's going to be impossible to learn chachmas yavanis. Frank Rabbi Yaakov Emden, it's sarachid to me. I don't understand this Gemara. Why couldn't he tell him, you want to study chachmas yavanis? Study it in the bathroom. It's Yoim, it's Laila, but it's a Makom where you can't be Maharib in the Rei Torah. He said, my father used to study Sifrei Chayil, and the Ramban did. And he said, I studied the philosophy of Aristotle. So why couldn't Ben Dom? I mean, it doesn't sound like Rabbi Shmuel had a problem be'etzim with studying Chachmas Yavanis. He said, Lo, find the time. That's not night. So I can find the time. The bathroom. What about the Beis HaKisei? And he says, by the way, you're going to tell me, okay, so how much time does a person spend in the bathroom, right? He says, that's also before Shigemara. This is classic. It says it's the Gemara, also a famous Gemara, one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. Shabbos Beit Tesam Beis. The Gemara says, Lassad Lavoi, Hashem is going to want to bring bad things, Rahman al Santa Klai Yisrael, Avram, Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is going to be the lobbyist on behalf of the union. He's going to cut a deal with Hashem. He says, going to tell me, Abish, seriously, how many years are there? You may should I say, no, the first 20 years you don't punish, you're left with 50 years, half the years is not, you can't do Averis anyway. So out of the whole story, you have 25 years. He says that in 25 years, half of them you spend in the bathroom. It was like a line item. The bathroom, you spend a lot of time there. So he says the 6.5 years, whatever the Gemara came out there, you spend in the bathroom. It's an enormous amount of time. So all that time, you could have studied Chachmas Yavanis. He says, Sarech Ian on that Gemara, Mesechtas Menachis, Tzadik Tesamid Beis.